Welcome everyone to this new episode of the Center of Law and Economics vlog series. My name is Christoph Gusken. I'm a PhD candidate at ETH Zurich, and today I have the pleasure and the honor to welcome Professor Henry Smith. Welcome, Professor Smith. So you are Professor of Law at Harvard University, where you direct the project on the foundation of private law. Your research interests include, among others, the law and economics of property, intellectual property, and remedies. Today we are going to discuss two of your papers, Equity as Meta-Law and Putting the Equity Back into Intellectual Property Remedies. So before we dive into the discussion, could you give us a brief summary of these two papers?
Well, thank you, Christoph. I guess I would, without too much drama, say that this whole subject is a mystery, a puzzle, and a paradox. So why is it a mystery? Well, I think you can get through a whole of law school without really hearing about equity as a distinct system. You can hear little bits and pieces about it, you hear a little about contract remedies, but you don't really get a sense that there was a separate system of equity unless you take legal history or something like that, or little references here and there. And so equity seems like a quirk, maybe a historical happenstance. It might seem not really relevant anymore. And that's, I think, in some sense, a conventional wisdom. And when you get to other systems, like the civil law systems, you don't have a separate equity. And so maybe this is really quite idiosyncratic. And so it's a mystery why anybody would talk about it, and maybe what exactly was going on. It's a puzzle because, as you mentioned, my previous area, my current areas, but my main areas of interest are property and intellectual property. And there are questions like how formal should property law be? Why isn't it always formal? Why is it not never formal? Why do we have a mix of formal and contextual, or rules and discretion? Why do we put these pieces together? Why don't we have all one or the other? And people sometimes argue for more pure approaches. And for that matter, why in our system and increasingly in other systems do we have a device like the trust? Doesn't that undermine the idea that property comes in standard packages? So there are these puzzles, and they extend to intellectual property as well. Why do we have the set of remedies we have? And it turns out that a lot of these puzzles go back to this seemingly idiosyncratic set of courts in our system, and certain ways of thinking that you can find in other systems as well. And so the question becomes more of a puzzle. Why do we do what we do? Why do we do it when we do it? And so forth. And so then that leads to a little bit of a paradox. Why do we have legal institutions that seem so mixed? Why are they such a hybrid? Why do we have rules and standards? And it goes beyond that. So these two papers that you mentioned try to say that this is more than just a matter of sprinkling some discretion in or a conflict between two different incompatible ideas. Instead, it's a system of systems that we have a regular law that solves problems most of the time, that aspires to be general for rule of law reasons, but in exceptional circumstances, and it turns out to be quite defined circumstances, we move to another level. And so I call this, maybe with a little bit of strange style, a meta law. But the idea of meta in this context is the way it works in system theory, in the philosophy of language. It's that equity as a system takes what the rest of the law does and then works on it. It refers to the rest of the law. It acts upon the law. But the law itself doesn't pay attention to equity. It does what it does. And then, for instance, if somebody misuses the law, somebody does something very, we have a contract and I'm acting very unfairly in certain ways that trigger this second mode, then a court will take a look at the entire fairness of the negotiations or my behavior during the contract or whatever it is, and that will be a second system, which in our system historically has been identified with equity, and that will override the result that might, so I might not be able to press my rights as stringently as I'd like because I've acted in this way to that courts will second guess.
Yeah, so in that context, so when we speak about the law, we often understand that the law is law in action, or in other words, law as applied in specific cases. How do you think that meta-law could help us to better apply remedies, for instance?
So that's a very interesting question. So let's start with the general idea of meta-law in the first place. You could conceivably, if people are doing things that might be opportunistic, might lead to unanticipated complexity and so forth, you could decide, we're going to come up with a better rule system. We're going to redesign the rules or come up with a specific rule to combat this particular problem, the particular unfairness that I, or bad behavior that I engaged in a moment ago. We could have another rule to do that. But then, the opportunist like me is going to go and do something else. The possibilities are endless. And that's, I think, the key to getting into equity. The possibilities are endless. It's very hard to anticipate, very hard. If you plug one hole, it's really kind of open-ended. And so the system, as we sort of learned from systems theory, the system itself has to have a certain kind of open-endedness, which is both its promise and its threat. So the threat, which is very familiar, is, well, now this is something that could come out of nowhere anytime. We could override anything. It's too destabilizing. What I argue in these papers is that we only go to this second system under defined circumstances. It's actually not as destabilizing as that, but it has the advantage of meeting problems on their own terms, that it's that it has exactly the complications we need. So when we get to remedies, think about an injunction, which is a court order to perform, well, it could be to perform a contract, we call that specific performance, or it could be not to engage in certain kinds of behavior. It could be don't trespass anymore. It could be don't infringe this patent. Now, the problem, of course, is that in some of these situations, when you have an order like that backed up by the threat of contempt, that's a very powerful remedy. And it's not just powerful, it's also potentially very blunt. If I say you can't do X, that means don't do X without regard to anything. And that also means that the person who benefits from this, say I'm in this case, the owner of the patent, that means that I can invoke that for whatever purpose across the board, including in situations where maybe that wasn't the purpose of my having the right or the legal system affording me this remedy. So when we have these kinds of remedies that are sort of very off on without more, in our system, and I think in an analogous way in other systems, you have fine-tuning for different situations. So if I'm using the injunction potentially to completely shut down your factory or put you out of business over a fairly minor violation, and you violated my right, but in the most innocent way, it was by mistake, that's the kind of situation where equity will say, okay, yes, there was a presumption that I should be able to get an injunction, but in this situation where it's so hard on you, I benefit so little, and you made an honest mistake, it is inappropriate to push it that far. And so the idea was in a situation like that, I should only be able to get damages. And that modulation is required in certain remedies much more than others. So damages has it sort of built in. It's a sliding scale. But without more, an injunction would be a real cliff in terms of either you're under the gun or you're not. And that's what equity does to modulate, to show some mercy where it's appropriate.
So now we understand that meta-law can have a real impact when it comes to remedies. But we can also imagine that the use of meta-law could go far beyond remedies alone. Where do you think that meta-law could come into play?
This is, I think, a crucial point, because if you ask people where equity comes into the picture, if to the extent that they pay attention to it, people would say remedies, maybe defenses, but remedies is the main picture for equity. I definitely argue that equity is much more pervasive than the law of remedies. Of course, remedies is very associated with equity. I don't deny that. But it is very important substantively as well. Maybe a little sort of history here might help. The equity used to be a separate course in the curriculum. Now, maybe that's a legacy of having separate courts, but there used to be a course called equity. That disappeared, and the subject of equity was folded into a course called remedies. And this remedies course was sort of a catch-all for things that don't get taught. Yeah, so it's restitution and remedies and damages, of course, is a remedy. But when it came to equity, there was a lot of substantive law. So this whole idea of a remedies course was kind of a misnomer, but that's where it was. That's where it found its home. Likewise, when people became more skeptical that equity had an identity, when the courts refused, and in the 20s and 30s, legal realists were skeptical of these kinds of distinctions, the idea was that we don't really need to talk about equity as a distinct system. This is an aspect of remedies. There's really nothing special about it. Let's just mix it in, and remedies are remedies, and we'll just handle it that way. It turns out, though, that seeing some themes, now I don't have a sort of grand theory of every last instance of equity, but if there are these themes in equity, like this kind of second order adjustment that I'm talking about, where you have certain kinds of triggers for it, we see certain, depending on the area of law, some combination of bad faith and disproportionate hardship, the way I described before, but it depends on the area. And then we go to a more freeform analysis that's guided by rules of thumb, equitable analysis. If we have that kind of system, that's not just a matter of remedies. And so certain aspects of law that trace back to equity show this. So unconscionability in contracts or various ideas where we reform contracts, which is a remedy, but we have various kinds of situations where we think that somebody might have engaged in nearly fraudulent behavior. So there's a whole series of situations which are reflected in our current law in a variety of ways, but they trace back to notions of, they used to call it constructive fraud or near fraud and so forth, which were defined situations in which we have heightened suspicion, and it calls for a second look. And that second look is a meta look. It's a sort of second look from this second system. And that has an advantage substantively in the law. It shapes the substance of the law beyond whether you can get an injunction or damages. So the idea, and sometimes it's paired with remedies that the remedies will track this, but the idea is that equity in its most general form doesn't happen all the time, but it is pervasive in the sense that if we want to take a second look, that's this function, and that in our system, in the Anglo-American system, the common law system in that sense, is associated with equity. Now, when we get to civil law, the same can be said of doctrines like abuse of right. And abuse of right is really, yes, it's very tied to remedies, but it's not remedies per se. It's a regulation or a modulation or a supplementing of some kind of the basic set of rights. And it's controversial, just the way equity is, because there is an idea that a right is a right. Why are you questioning why I'm using my right this way? And so it's a fundamental design question that all systems face, but it's really more than a remedial question.
So thank you very much, Professor Smith, for this really interesting insight into your papers. And thank you for coming here in Zurich for the discussion.
Thank you very much for having me.
So thank you also to our viewers. We hope you enjoyed the discussion as much as we did. And we are looking forward to seeing you again soon for a new episode of the vlog series. Goodbye.